We're going to open in prayer as people make their way in. And as we pray, Debbie, is this, do you have a...
270.
So if you have your hymn books, maybe you can grab those. We're going to open in a hymn after I pray, 270, Footsteps of Jesus. 470, right?
270.
Oh, 270, sorry. 270. 270 in your hymn books. Wonderful words of life. So, before we do that, I'm going to open in prayer. So, Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you for being with us, being present here at Harmony Church. I thank you for those that are able to make it today, Lord. It's a bit of a snowy weather out there. Roads are a little slippery, Lord, so we thank you for safety, Lord. And for Pastor Bruce, who's on his way from Ottawa here, I just pray that you would protect him, help him not to get a speeding ticket, because I know he wants to be here. But we just thank you so much for your presence. We thank you for all that you've done for us, how you have protected us and guided us and led us and saved us. And God, we want to celebrate you this morning. We want to celebrate your goodness and just be thankful for all that you've done. So as we open in a hymn, Lord, I just pray that you'd bless it. I pray that you'd bless the Gallaghers as they lead us in worship this morning. I pray that your spirit would fill this place, that we would experience the living God this morning. And we just thank you for your presence, and we just celebrate you this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
270. In your hymn books, and then after that, you can just take us forward. You have your Bibles, if you want to turn to the book of Matthew. It's the very first book in the New Testament. You want to turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 5. And as you're turning there, I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. I thank you that that you gave us this incredible book to guide us and reveal to us who you are, to show us your character, your nature, your heart for us, and your plans for us, Lord. I thank you for your guiding word, Lord.
And I pray, Jesus, that you would just magnify your word through your servant this morning, that your truth would capture hearts. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 5, I don't know about you, but if you have noticed in the news recently over the last 2-3 months, there has been an explosion of this movement that's been labeled as Me Too. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but the hashtag Me Too is a representation of just the increase of awareness towards sexual harassment. There was a particular individual who was a notorious producer in the movie industry, and he had sexually abused and harassed many, many people, and women began to tell their story, and it took courage for them to speak out, and then it just began this movement that exploded. And if you have read the newspaper, if you've been on television, if you've gone on any social forms of media, it's everywhere. It's hit our politics. Our provincial leader, Mr. Brown, is no longer the provincial or conservative progressive leader because of this movement that's just swept through everywhere. And as this has happened, it's really been no shock to me. I mean, some people have been shocked by this, just the amount of people that have come out. And really, if it's interesting, as you hear these women that are in Hollywood or in music telling their stories, literally they say that they have been harassed sexually at some point in their lives. It's just regular for them. And if you're a woman here this morning, maybe you've experienced sexual harassment in some form or another. And that's terrible. It's awful that that's happened. But the interesting thing about all of this is that people, in their surprise of this, as Christians, we really shouldn't be surprised, unfortunately. Because the Bible speaks about the dangers of sexuality, the dangers of letting lust just continue in your life. And Jesus speaks into this issue, and I want to look at that. I want to look at what Jesus has to say about this issue of lust. Because if you get down to the bottom of all of this, it's really about lust untamed in the hearts of men and in women. But I want to look at this, and it's an important issue. So let's turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Verses 27 to 30. Matthew 5, verses 27 to 30. Jesus saying this: "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell." These are some strong words from Jesus. Some strong, strong words. And the first thing that I notice is that Jesus is actually introducing a commandment. You've heard that it said, "You shall not commit adultery." In Exodus chapter 20, we find that the sixth commandment is, "You shall not commit adultery." Everybody knew that commandment. And Jesus is saying, "You've heard that it said, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now Jesus, he takes it beyond the commandment. And for, you know, doing some study in this, the ancient Mediterranean men were known to have thought that lust was a healthy thing. That, you know, to be a strong man was to desire a woman sexually and to think about her and want her for yourself. You know, that was just a common thought in Greek men. It was healthy. It was healthy to lust. You know, it meant you were a man. You know, it meant you were strong. And unfortunately, that's a way that a lot of people think today. You know, guys that I work with, young guys, lust is a sign of their youth, their vitality, their strength. It's healthy. But for Jewish people, well, let me just say something about that. The Greeks, it was something that they viewed as a strength, as healthy, so it would have been a shock to them when Jesus says, whoa, whoa. If you look at a woman with lustful intent, it's the same as committing adultery in God's eyes. It's a sin against God. They would have been like, whoa, whoa, that would have been a shock. Maybe it's a shock to some of you this morning. But the Jewish readers or the Jewish hearers would have been more in agreement with Jesus on this. They would have thought, yeah, that's we're in line with that. We believe that that's right. But the shock that would have come to them would have been in the form that Jesus places the responsibility on the individual who is lusting, not on the other person. It was actually said that there were many Jewish, if you do some study, you'll find that there were many Jewish writers, ancient Jewish writers, that said that you need to be careful for dangerous women who incite lust in us. They placed the blame on women. That's why they had women cover themselves and you know, because, you know, how dare that woman cause lust in us. So it was their fault. But Jesus says, no, 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 no. It's not the woman's fault that you're lusting. It's your fault. You are responsible. Your heart is the issue. You know, we hear people say, some rapist in court. Well, if you saw what she was wearing, you know, she made me do it. In Jesus' court, that doesn't fly. It is the responsibility of the individual. And it would have been a shock to the Jew, and it would have been a shock to the Greek for different reasons. But it was a shock. But what he also does is he combines a commandment. He combines the seventh commandment with the tenth commandment, because the tenth commandment is, you shall not covet. You shouldn't covet your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's oxen or his servant. You shall not covet. And he brings them together. And he's saying that lust is really, it's the same thing as a covetousness. It's a desire. When you lust, the root of that is a desire. And really, to simplify it, is to lust after someone is to desire them for yourself. It's an illicit desire. It's to want them for yourself sexually. And I'll tell you that every form of lust, almost every form of lust, is evil and adultery in God's eyes. And there are exceptions. I think it's okay that I lust after my wife. It's weird to say that, I know. But if you're married, it's healthy for you to desire your partner, your spouse. That's okay. That's healthy. But every form of lust outside of that is not healthy. And I want to say this, a word to the singles. There's some single people here this morning. A word to the singles that it's okay for you to have a desire, an attraction for someone. I mean, that's a healthy thing. Without it, people wouldn't get married. People wouldn't have kids. You know, it's just, it's a part of the way that God has built that within us. It's okay to be attracted to someone and to desire to have a relationship with them and to be with them. That's healthy. But the moment that healthy attraction and desire becomes lust is when you begin to take that desire and you begin to turn it into sexual fantasy. Because friends, if you're not married to them, you have no right to be thinking about that individual sexually in any way. It's adultery in God's eyes. It's a serious thing. And for married people, the standard goes up. For singles, you've got a little bit more leeway because you can, you know, oh, that's a really pretty girl. Maybe I'll, you know, just want to date her. Oh, that's a pretty woman. You know, you've got some leeway. For married people, no, no, no. There's one person that your desire is for. It is your spouse. Anything outside of that, in God's eyes, is adultery. To desire someone for yourself. You know, and I'll say this, that there is an attraction, and that's okay. That there's a reality that we, as women and men, you'll see an attractive person, you can acknowledge it, you can recognize it. I don't think it's probably healthy to say to your partner, wow, that's a really beautiful woman right there. Probably not a good idea. Keep that in your head. It's okay. But that's as far as it goes. You see them and then you move on. You don't dwell on them. You don't think about them. You don't fantasize, because in that moment that you begin to desire them or think about them, it becomes adultery and a serious thing and a serious crime against God. Now, why? Well, let me just say this first. This is serious in God's eyes, and I'll explain why in a little bit, but let's just look at what Jesus says about what we should do about this. If this is something that is in your life in any form or measure, if there is lust in your life in any form or measure, Jesus says this: if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. This is a serious thing in God's eyes. He is recognizing, Jesus is pointing out, that your soul is on the line. If you allow this to persist in your life, if you allow lust to go untamed in your heart, your soul is on the line. That you could lose your salvation. And friends, I have seen this in people. I have seen in close friends, in family members, where lust has gone untamed in their hearts and they have walked away from God. And the danger is there. It's ever present. Now, I don't know about you, but when Jesus says these things, some people can step back and be like, wait a second, what is Jesus saying here? Is this like, is he crazy? Because if we took this literally, everyone would be blind and we'd have no arms. Jesus isn't intending for it to be a literal statement. And if you look at the rest of Scripture, you'll see that there were disciples, there were other people, followers of Jesus, that had these issues, that were struggling, and they didn't pluck their eyes out and they didn't cut off their arms. But what Jesus is doing is he's using hyperbole. He's using extreme language to drive a point home. He's saying, this is serious. This is serious business. You got to take this seriously. And if you look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the scholars amongst you, we know that this is the popular Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is, gives this message, and it's an eclectic, just different teachings that Matthew, has gathered together. And it's really about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus, hey, read the Sermon on the Mount. This is what the DNA of a Christian should look like. They should act, how they should live their lives. And friends, as believers, we need to take Jesus seriously. That if there is lust in our lives, we need to deal with it. We need to deal with it. We need to confront it, and we need to cut it off. We need to do whatever it takes to rid this from our lives. And the thing that I've discovered over the years in my Christian life is that I don't think people take Jesus very seriously when it comes to this. I've shared this before, but I went to Bible school. And I was a resident advisor in my last year, and I was able to counsel some students and just talk to different people. And I tell you, almost every single guy that was there struggled with pornography. And I'll tell you this right now, pornography in every form is adultery in God's eyes. It is a serious crime against God. And every one of the guys, almost every one of them, struggle with pornography. And when I talk to them, I wish I knew then what I know now. I think I could have helped them a little bit better. And I'll share a little bit of my own story this morning. But the reality is that people didn't take this verse very seriously, because I saw this struggle, and all of them wanted to be free. All the wanted to be free. I just want to be over this. I want to get up past this. But then they go and watch R-rated movies filled with sex scenes. And they listen to music that is just filled with sexuality and sensuality. And they watch television with no restraint. And they're like, yeah, I want freedom. I want victory. God help me. But there's no parameters. There's no discipline in their life to get rid of these things. So I didn't see a lot of people taking Jesus seriously at his word. And I've seen the suffering in my friends as a result of this. So we need to take this seriously. And I want to read for you a verse that some people might say, well, this is, Dan, this is, you know, I don't know if you come across these people, but people want to say, well, Jesus, you know, that's before the cross. That's old covenant, right? Because new covenant is after the resurrection in a new era of grace and mercy. And, you know, that's old covenant. That's kind of law. Well, Paul the Apostle, who lived in the new covenant, who preached the new covenant, who was really commissioned by God to be a proclaimer of the new covenant, he says this in Colossians 3, verses 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put to death. It's really the same type of language that Jesus is using. Put to death, impurity, sexual immorality, evil desire. So I want to say this to the whole church. If you're sitting here and you're like, well, I don't really have a lust issue. Well, let's be serious that this is beyond a lust issue. It's a sin issue. That we need to take sin seriously. That we need to strive to put it to death. That we need to take it seriously. That we need to do whatever it takes to get these things, these addictions, these bondages that are holding us back, we need to do whatever it takes to get rid of them. And I want to share with you a little bit of my journey, and it's almost fitting because a part of my message is my testimony. And it's weird, it's on my birthday, but I figure that's a fitting day to give a little bit of my story, my testimony. But I had a struggle with lust for many, many years. Since I was 12 years old, I had an issue with lust that plagued my life. It was a poison in my soul. And it haunted me. Haunted me in Bible school. Haunted me into my marriage. And it was hard. And I wanted freedom so bad, and it just seemed to be out of my grasp. But it finally got to a place in my life where I was just like, enough is enough. Something I need to change. There's got to be something, like, I need to do whatever it takes. I need to stop just kind of, you know, on the surface trying to deal with it and thinking that every, you know, if I do this, well, then maybe, you know. No, I need to just go full frontal, attack it, and do whatever it takes to get rid of this issue in my life. And I attacked it with everything I had. I put accountability on all my computers. I stopped watching anything that would potentially compromise my integrity in terms of sexuality. I basically was doing everything that I knew. I began to see a professional counselor. I was taking all these necessary steps. And eventually it led me into seeking out deliverance. And I stand before you a free man. Praise God. I stand before you a free man. And I am so grateful, because there were times in this journey where I did not think that there was a freedom for me. I didn't even know how. I was like, God, I have struggled with this for so long. Even to the point when I remember when I was a teenager, I had prayed so many times, God, I just want to be past this. Help me get over this. Help me get over this. And it wasn't happening. And I got so frustrated that, if God wants me to have victory, and then I want victory, but it's not happening, well, then maybe God's not real. And it actually led me to a point of almost walking away from my faith. And that's where this verse where Jesus says that it could cost you is very, very real. Because of the poison in your soul, the sin in your soul, it can take you into dark places. Into dark places. But God didn't give up on me. He never gave up on me. He chased me down with His love and His grace. And it was really, I believe, a point when I said, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to leave my work. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to give up all these you know, easy things. And I wish I had my phone on me. I have a flip phone now. I got rid of my smartphone. You know, little things like that. You do whatever it takes, friends. And God set me free. And He put a peace in my heart. And just, it's hard to describe to you now the place that I'm in. But I tell you, I'm hungry to see other people find that same place. But I want to say this, and I think it bears relevance to this, because I think there might be some people here today that are discouraged. That are discouraged in this battle with lust. And I want to tell you that if you have been doing everything you possibly can, and you feel like you're not gaining ground in this area, well, then I want to say that there may potentially be some demonic influence, some demonization. And I want to say to you, if you've done everything that you can, and maybe it's not a lust issue, maybe it's something else, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's something, a different sin issue, and you feel like you've done everything, like you have tried everything in your physical ability to get rid of this issue and it's not working, well, then there may be a demonic root at play. And if you want to seek out Pastor Bruce and I and talk to us, we would be happy to pray with you and just counsel with you in this and help you to find the freedom, and maybe you need some deliverance. But I also want to say this, that not everything is rooted in demons. Don't hear me that in saying that. Sometimes it's just the flesh and we need to apply discipline. I mean, if you got a lust issue, you shouldn't be watching movies filled with sex scenes. I mean, hello. If you've got a problem with pornography, you shouldn't be allowed to go on the internet without somebody, without their accountability, without there being somebody watching what you're watching. I mean, just you've lost the privilege. Come on now. Like, we need to be real. So let's be honest that there are times there can be demonization, there are times it can just be the flesh, and there are times there can be a combination of both. And I've shared this at Harmony, but it was discovered in my times of prayer for deliverance that I was being demonized, that there was a demon that I received when I was 12 years old that haunted me and was, it was afflicting me. And when we prayed, I immediately felt a difference. And since that moment, I have walked in a completeness and freedom that is amazing. And that might be your situation too. So we want to pray for you. If you have something like that, please, we want to pray with you. So I wanted to throw that in there, okay? But let's get back into the text a little bit this morning. So Jesus says these words. He drives home this serious issue, this problem that I believe exists in many, many men and some, and increasingly more women, unfortunately. That there is a real problem, and it's even in the church. And God is saying, let's be serious about our sin. Let's confront it. Let's address it. Let's deal with it. And friends, I want to say this to you. There is victory for you. There is victory for you. Romans 6, 12 to 14. I want to read that. I want to read that this morning. Romans 6, 12 to 14. You can turn there in your Bibles with me. And it says this in Romans 6, 12 to 14. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. And hear this verse, friends. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Sin will not have rule over you. If you are a child of God, you can know that there is an assurance from the Word of God that says that if we look to Christ and you're living in His grace, that you can walk in victory. You can walk in victory. A fullness and complete victory. That there is peace for you in this life. That it's not just, well, I just got to hold on until God calls me home. And just hold on tight, you know, while I stumble and just slam my face off the ground day after day after day after day. Yes, friends, there will be times where you will fail. There will be times. But friends, I believe that there is a fullness and a complete victory that Christ can bring to our lives, where we are living in a state of purity and wholeness and peace, and that's our regular experience. That when we stumble and fall, it's not our regular thing. It's, well, I'm past that. Let's move on. Let's go. Let's keep going. I'm under grace. Grace is empowering us. Grace is strengthening us. It's moving us into victory. And friends, I think that this message is important for us as a church because it bears relevance to everything that's going on around us. And as our culture, which is so saturated with sexuality, I mean, it is so saturated with sexuality. I mean, I even just think when I was at the drop-in center just a while, it was a little while back, and I was talking to these boys, you know, there's like 7 boys and they're ages 10 to 13. And they're just randomly joking, and it was just almost, I was like, wow, the stuff that they're joking about is incredible. Colin can attest to this. But then they started joking about, you know, gay porn and how that was funny to them. And they tried to show me a video of gay porn, like it was humorous to them. Hey, look at this. This is a scene from a gay pornographic video or whatever. And I was like, no thanks. You know, and they're laughing about it, you know. And I'm just like, these kids are 10 years old watching gay porn as if it's funny. This is, and you know, we think that, you know, people are alarmed, people are shocked at all this sexual assault that's just running rampant and everywhere, it seems. And people are wondering that while their kids are in their bedrooms watching pornography on their tablets, without restriction, it angers me that our government has literally done nothing to prevent kids from accessing violent, hardcore pornography. I mean, you can go online and find just egregious, terrible things. And 8-year-olds are watching these things. 8-year-olds. Terrible things that are happening. And it's lust that's just gone out of control. I mean, lust is just, it's bursting. We're reaping our culture. You know, we wanted more sexuality, more freedom in sexuality, you know, and we're reaping the harvest of that. And it's devastating, and it's hurting people. It's hurting people. There are people here today that have been abused and assaulted because lust has run untamed in the hearts of men and women. And we need to confront it. If it doesn't happen in the church, friends, it's not going to happen out there. We need to start a movement, a revival of purity, where the world says, whoa, look at what's happening in there, and just the wholeness and the completeness and the marriages that are together and strong, and men that are lifting up their children with arms of healing and hope and not abusing their kids. Because friends, if you let lust untamed run in your life, it will lead you into places you never thought you could ever be. Ted Bundy was a serial rapist, a murderer, and a killer. He grew up in a nice Christian home. I mean, his parents were nice people. It was a good family. But he picked up a porn magazine when he was 11 years old on the side of the road. And it began in him a journey down a dark, dark path that led to him on death row. And he gave a testimony right before he died. And he said, of all the serial killers and rapists in here, every one of them is addicted to pornography. And friends, I read an article recently by an organization that's out to stop this. It's out to build awareness for the dangers of pornography. And it goes around in schools and it gives scientific-based presentations on the damages that porn is having on young kids. But they released an article and it was basically saying some of the top searches, when they go on websites, when they go on porn sites, some of the top searches that people are looking for in the top three. Two of the top three was rape and pedophilia. Things aren't going to get better. Things are becoming more and more violent, more and more vicious. And friends, the game has changed. I want to be real with you this morning. The game has changed in the porn industry. It's a billion dollar industry. And there is such a high demand for this content that it's really caused an explosion of sex trafficking across the world. With people just hungry for material. And friends, if you're an evil and twisted, if you have a sinful heart, and you see that millions and billions of dollars is being made off of these things, well, then you're going to want to make some of that money. How can I do that? Well, I'm going to exploit. And I'm going to take into my... And I'm going to take advantage of young children, young boys, young girls. And it's terrible, the things that are happening in our culture. And really, the root of it is lust untamed in the hearts of men. And if we don't confront it, if we don't do something about it in our own hearts, well, then your soul is on the line. But not only that, but there... I want to just be really, really real with you. That there was a dark place in my life where these hands, I was like, God, I don't want these hands to ever be used for evil. I don't want these hands to be ever used for evil. And if it wasn't for His mercy and His grace, who knows where I'd be and what I'd have done. But He spared me. And I confronted that sin. And now I know that I'm going to be used. God is going to use me in some way to combat sex trafficking, that combat children that are being abused and terrorized by evil men and women. And God's going to use these hands for healing and hope. And I hope that He uses your hands too, that He inspires you to deal with this issue. And I say this as a teaching tool too, because some of you are like, I don't struggle with this. Amen, Dan. This is really not with me, but listen, this is a teaching tool for you because you know people around you that may be struggling. You know that there are men and friends that you have and husbands, you've got friends and wives, you've got friends and maybe siblings and whatever. You have people in your circles that you may understand and know that this is happening. Bring this to them. Say, friend, I want to help you. I want to encourage you. Hey, look at the Word of God. Look at what Jesus says about this. This is serious. Let's deal with this. What can I do to help you? We want to be there for one another. We want to be holding arms together as we move forward in victory and purity and hope and life. And I know that there is a heaviness to this. But I think it's so important for us that we need to deal with this. And not just this, but sin. Sin in general, because for the wages of sin is death. The Apostle Paul says, put to death impurity, evil desires, covetousness, idolatry. We got to put these things, we got to take them seriously. And if we don't, it's going to poison our souls and poison our walk with Jesus. And friends, let me tell you about the reward. Okay, I want to finish with the reward. Because this is all heavy stuff and this is real, you know, it's uncomfortable to hear these things. You know, nobody wants to hear about sex trafficking, and it's hard to hear about these things, and it's uncomfortable. But let me tell you about the reward, okay? The reward in this, the reward is that when we cut these things off from our lives, And we step into the victory that Christ has purchased for us. Well, just earlier from Matthew 5, it says this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Do you want to see God? Do you want to see God? Do you want to experience God? Do you want His presence in your life? Do you want to hear His voice and to experience His embrace and to just every day when you wake up, He's speaking to you, He's talking to you, He's telling you where to go, He's telling you what to say. He's leading your life in every way. And your life is just filled with purpose. I mean, you put your foot on the ground and His voice is in your ear. His presence is all around you. And you respond to Him and you see people healed. You see people changed because of the Word of God that you speak into their life. It says that there's a gift that He gives us, the prophetic gift that He gives us revelation about people's lives that can bring them to a place of salvation. But it's what is the gift of prophecy? It's hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. You're never going to speak into someone's life tremendous impact and change if you can't hear His voice. And how do we hear His voice? How do we see Him? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. If you want to see God and experience God and walk with Him in a closeness and a connection like you've never have, deal with your sin and be serious about it. And I've come across so many people who think that, you know, I can just continue to have sex outside of marriage. I can continue to watch pornography, or I can continue to just lust after women uncontained, and what's the big deal? Your relationship with Christ is stunted. And friends, you're at risk of your soul being separated God from all of eternity. We need to be serious about this. And we need to be serious about sin. Because it's not just our lives that are impacted. It's the lives around us. Because God wants to use you. Friends, He wants to use you to be a fire and a force wherever you are. He wants to use you in your workplaces and in your homes where you speak life and people's hearts are melted because it's the voice of God. You're hearing Him speak and you declare it in people's lives and they melt to their knees and they say, "How can you know those things? Only God knows those things. Only God can know them, but you know them." And they fall to their knees and they call out, "You know God." You're not going to hear those things if sin is running rampant and it's untamed in your life. Deal with it. Confront it. Cut it off. Because if it goes unexposed and it goes undealt with, the impact that you'll have in this life will be minimal. And if you get into heaven, praise God. But there's not going to be many people that you bring with you. I want to bring as many people with me into glory as I possibly can. I want there to be hundreds, thousands of people coming along with me. And they say, "Daniel, it's the words that you spoke into my life that changed me." But I can't hear God's voice if sin is untamed in my heart. If then I'm not dealing with it. And I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not saying that you got to be perfect. I'm not saying that you have to be flawless in order to hear from God. No. It's about living with a repentant heart. It's about taking sin seriously. It's about striving to walk in purity. And when something trips you up, you say, "God, I'm running after you. I'm keeping going. God, help me out of this. Help me away from this." It's living in humility. But it's dealing with our sin, taking it seriously, because Jesus took sin seriously. He spoke about it seriously. The Apostle Paul did. And if we don't, we'll be an ineffective church and you'll be an ineffective Christian. And it's just the truth. So I want to close and I want to pray. Maybe Debbie, if you could come. And I know that there's a heaviness to this, but I'm not going to apologize. Did you, Candace? Yeah.
Subtleties in female pornography that they're not present in.
Thank you, Candace. So I want to pray, and I want to say this, that I'm going to give an altar call, but I also want to say this. If you got some deep issues and you've been dealing with this and you're maybe fearful to come forward for whatever reason, we'd be happy to talk with you after. If you wanted to phone the church or you wanted to deal with, talk to me later, we'd be happy to talk with you later. And we want to walk with you in this. We want to journey with you in finding freedom, finding purity and wholeness. But I'm going to pray. Father, I just ask, Lord, as I know, God, that there is victory that you purchased for us at Calvary. That because of your life, Lord, there is a sweetness and a completeness of victory, Lord. And I pray that you would instill that in the hearts of those that may be discouraged, that have maybe been fighting for so long and they just think that there's no way. It's too big. God, I pray that you would just drive in them the belief and the truth of the scripture that there is nothing is impossible for you, that you can help all of us walk in purity. And Lord, I pray if there are those here today that are struggling with whatever, maybe it's anger, maybe it's lust, maybe it's gluttony, maybe it's unforgiveness, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would help them to just take today and say, today I'm going to take a stand against the sin in my life, that I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get rid of it. I'm going to take your word seriously. And I pray that you would meet them here today, right now. That you would meet them. That you would speak into their hearts. Speak life into their hearts, Lord Jesus. Speak faith. Impart into them faith. Father, would you just move, Lord? And for those of us that may know others, I pray that even you would invite them to come. I invite them to come, that if there are people in your heart, people that you know about, people that you're thinking about, that you know that this is a real issue and it's a real threat to their life, to their marriage, I ask that they would come on behalf of those people and that they would intercede for them and pray for them and commit to being a voice of courage that would step out and say, hey, can I help you? Let's talk about this. I want to be by your side in this. So Jesus, would you just move amongst your church, spark in our hearts a passion for purity so that we could see you, that we could see you with a clarity and hear your voice with just a fullness assurance, knowing that God is speaking to me and that we would have an impact. Jesus, thank you, God. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So if there's somebody here that has somebody that they're thinking about, you don't need to use their name, but we want to pray for you for them. And maybe if it's you yourself, we want to pray for you as well. And if you're there, we want to also invite you to come and to minister to those that are here.